The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pablo Torre, Sarah Spain, Tim Kalishaw, Clinton Yates, whether the good panelists from Dallas will shimmy when he pulls close in the first quarter just to get dunked on by one of the other panelists. Also, how drunk is Oilers Flames right now? And Tim Anderson drops the hammer, drops the mic, and drops the bat. Don't lie. Let's go.
I bet Tim is good. Or Scott Hoffman.
You're not dunking anything, Pablo.
Area.
Lots of good work.
What is a sock hop?
The PGA Championship. Justin Thomas's comeback from seven strokes down and the win over Will Zalatoris in the playoff. But Mito Pereira, the rookie, the 100th ranked golfer from Chile, the tournament was his until a nightmare on 18. A par wins it, a bogey plays it off. He creaked it, he cranked it, he clobbered, chipped it, and double bogeyed it. Here's what he said afterward. I was really nervous. I tried to handle it a little bit, but it's really tough. I thought I was going to win on 18, but it is what it is. We'll have another one. Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you. What did we just witness? The PGA Championship.
You know, I want to get to Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris, the playoff of the 30-inch belts. Because they deserve their mention. Mm-hmm. But when you see Pereira, Mito Pereira was the best player on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, came in fourth at the Olympics, almost won a medal there. Mm-hmm. He's a really talented young player who's been playing well, and he held on for 71 holes. And then you watch that swing on the 18th tee, and that's not his swing. He just rushed it, and he rushed that shot up by the green. And it's nice of him to say afterwards he was very nervous. I don't know who wouldn't be in that situation. I do think he will get back, but that is a bit of a choke, and you've got to acknowledge that. But Thomas coming back from where he was, and Thomas said at the Masters, I haven't performed. I have underachieved in majors.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's been a great player everywhere else. He's won tour championships. He's as good as anybody out there. He's an automatic Ryder Cup every 2 years. But his comeback, very worthy of a title.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I loved that Mito said afterwards we'll get another one because I hope he does. And he's young enough that this hopefully will not be the thing that he's remembered for. He'll have another chance and maybe the nerves and the response this time will teach him how to settle down next time. But you hate to watch that. But it is also a reminder in golf how quickly it can all go away and why someone like Justin Thomas needs to keep fighting even if the odds are telling him he's not in it. If he can fight back from seven strokes down, force that playoff, and then play like he did in the playoff, that's how you find yourself in the winner's circle. But, man, I hope he gets another shot. That's so hard to watch.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, we're being kinder to Mito than Mito was to himself, which I find fascinating because this was not a bit of a choke, as Tim said. This was the choke of all chokes, arguably, and Mito basically said
really?
It all.
You
he was
think
most
so?
Nervous.
No.
Well, hold on. What he said after was that this wasn't just nerves, right? On Sunday, this was nerves. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was the worst on Sunday. He had a share of the lead, Tony, for 35 consecutive holes. What he did, again, yes, the shot was bad and it all sort of escalated from there. But what he did was do something that was unspinnable, right? And I admire the honesty from there. I admire the honesty. There's no way to spin this. This was a choke, flat out. And the fact that he said
but you just
it,
said,
it made me relate.
The greatest choke or the worst,
him,
I guess, would
I
be.
Say,
of all time, Clinton Yates, you want to come in here?
I don't think it's of all time, but I think that this is what we tune in for when it comes to golf. This is the human drama that we like in non-team sports. And for him to be honest, in that moment was incredible. Let's not forget where the PGA was in terms of the discussion. I don't know, 4 days beforehand. We're talking about other things in other countries that we didn't want to discuss. Tiger gets through it. We have fun watching that. This guy finally shows a little human emotion. Somebody comes back and wins. I don't know that there's going to be a better major this year than this tournament in Tulsa. I'm sorry. I was entertained. Thank you, PGA.
Kalishaw back in to oppose the good panelists from New York here.
Yes, the good panelists. I just want to say the choke of all chokes. I cannot go there at all. Vandeveld 23 years ago, whenever that was, made at least three horrible decisions, one after another, on that triple bogey to play his way out. This was really a bad tee shot he couldn't recover from, a not great chip shot. Not a great finish, but not Vandeveld.
Vandeveld's name is on that list. Also, you know, Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson.
Sure.
Or all-time golfers, and Colin Montgomery, who had a very full
very
career.
Good
should Mito
yes,
rise to
point.
That? I mean, that's a level you would want to be at. But Pablo Torre, wow. Going hard on the rookie here.
Calling it like you said
we'll
it.
We'll move on. Let's marvel at Tim Anderson here last night.
One under.
White Sox Yankees.
I think Anderson to right. Oh, well hit. Judge going too, back. Huh? Looking up. It's gone. Tim Anderson, a three-run shot.
So if you subscribe to the Ball Don't Lie, or Bat Don't Lie in this case, your subscription paid off in those bleeps. A traffic stopper of a moment and a conversation ender from Tim Anderson, who, I mean, how hard were those cameras looking for a reaction shot from Josh Donaldson, you think? Yankees fans who chanted Jackie at Anderson just choking on it. So that's part of this conversation here. How you considered the whole weekend, whether Donaldson crossed the line, or if his explanation that it was an inside joke landed with you. And then La Russa's response that it was racist, and Hendricks and Boone and Yankees fans' responses, and ultimately Anderson's hammer drop. Clinton, overall, how should Major League Baseball view this?
I think Major League Baseball should look at this as a conflict between two grown men and two players that involves something important that needs to be discussed in public. This is not a suspension situation in my book. This is something that, when it comes to Donaldson versus Anderson, they talked it out. He said what he had to say. It was not a fighting matter. It was nothing other than, hey, buddy, you crossed the line. You don't know me like that. These things happen a lot in America when it comes to being a black person, that folks walk right up to the line and say, hey, I was just kidding. T.A. knows the difference. And he said as much without making it a scene. And then he showed it with his bat. I thought the way that his team supported him was tremendous. But I don't think it's something that the commissioner needs to get involved with, because they talked about it right there on the field. And you saw what happened.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, I agree with Clinton that nothing should be happening here. The idea of more content moderation gets real dangerous when, by the way, I don't necessarily trust in general who is doing the moderating there. And in this case in specific, yes, this is an inside joke, allegedly, that clearly didn't feel that way to Tim Anderson, right? Like, the claim, anytime you have a quote board and part of the phraseology is it was an inside joke, okay, this is already disastrous, right? You never want to explain the inside joke, but the idea that there is a poking and a prodding here that maybe had some intent that's darker than that, pun unfortunately, yeah, incidentally relevant here. I do think that this is a problem, but it does not need to be a suspension-worthy problem. Hopefully, the home run that Tim Anderson hit at Yankee Stadium is enough resolution for everybody on the White Sox.
Pablo, though, putting credence into the inside joke nature of this. Sarah, you're shaking your head no.
No, they don't get along. This was the response to an earlier incident in the game. When you're beefing with someone, your response is not an inside joke, and certainly not one that's racist. You're not, if he's not your buddy, and as Clinton said, you don't know him like that, you're not calling him Jackie for any other reason than because you're trying to get his goat in a racist way. I wouldn't have a problem with the suspension. I don't think it's necessary, but if they choose to do that to make a point and to put a stop to it, I'm fine with it. Because you look at what happened because of this is Yankee fans chanting Jackie, which is lower than low. They're trying to top their previous lows from this season. There are worse things that have happened, but we don't need to do a sliding scale and decide that he has to be somehow more egregious than this for them to step in and say, we're not letting this get anywhere by making it very clear that there's no place for that.
And Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, 3 years ago, Tim Anderson called himself like a modern Jackie Robinson, talking about the lack of blacks playing baseball these days that we have talked
about. Well, having fun in baseball,
times.
Too.
There are probably players who know Tim Anderson like that and could make a reference like that would be joking. Josh Donaldson is not one of those. And when his own manager, and managers will defend anybody for anything, they defend guys throwing it. Another guy's head. He said he went somewhere he should not have gone. That tells you who was in the wrong here.
Clinton, one last word here. Before we sat down, you were addressing the parsing that has happened adjacent to this conversation. Was it racist? Was it racial? A little bit racist, a little bit racial. You want to expand on that, please?
It's not about whether something is a little bit or a lot, Tony, and I appreciate you asking that. It's about the fact that if T.A. thought it was out of line, it was out of line. And then he hit the ball. out of the park. So I really love how he handled that. Overall, I think this is how adults should be able to converse about things when it comes to simply the issues that we have in America.
Yes.
An enormous moment for the news and the conversation of the week. Also, on the baseball field, White Sox have been kind of middling through the start of the season. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they respond as a team, because they responded very, very uniformly to the comments, and everything has gone right for the Yankees, but lost a doubleheader yesterday after those comments. We'll move on. Latest on Jimmy Butler tonight, his availability. He intends to play. The latest on Tyler Herro, he is out tonight. Celtics, if not must win, a really, really behoove you to win scenario. Sarah Spain, what is the play here for Boston? Do they have to change things up or trust what they are in game four?
Well, all those comments about how this was like watching a football game are starting to play out in terms of the ins and outs from the IR list and the players who are available. Geez. No, they don't have to change anything other than stop turning the ball over and have a better response when the Heat start to really pressure you. The Celtics are so good at stopping teams from being effective in the half court that when they let the opposing team dictate transition play, dictate tempo, that's when they lose. And that's what they've done in the two quarters that they've lost to the Heat, was not prevent them from getting the steals and the transition and the buckets off of missed shots that they need in order to stay in this game and in order to take leads. If the Celtics don't have those disastrous quarters, they stop turning the ball over like that, they're fine, especially if Tyler Herro's out, because he's the guy that gives them those big spurts when Butler's out off the floor, when Butler doesn't have
he hasn't much this series, though. He's missed 21 of his last 23 three-pointers.
First game he did.
Kalashaw, bring you in here. Yeah. Is everything fine, as Spain seems to suggest?
Sort of fine. When you're the Celtics,
sort
it's always
fine.
Just sort
okay.
of there. You know, because you tend to get in your own way. They can't afford another 3-for-14 from Jason Tatum. He's had three really bad shooting games in these playoffs, and they've all cost them. And if he has a normal game, they win tonight.
Quentin Yates.
It wasn't just the 24 turnovers for me in terms of the Celtics. It was the fact that they just generally looked sloppy. The Heat also had 29 deflections, which means that almost every pass was somehow bothered. This team looks tired. This team looks beaten up. And it showed, because this series has been stilted and kind of ugly. I don't know if you recover from it, but I don't think you can change anything at this point. You just have to get healthier, get sharper, because otherwise it's not going to work.
Pablo. Every time I count the Heat out, it blows up in my face, but I will try it one last time here, because the Celtics, after a loss in the postseason, are 3-0, Tony. They're better after these losses than they are at any other point.
Okay.
Jason Tatum cannot possibly have more turnovers than points or assists again. I say all of this knowing and feeling, by the way, yeah, Heat culture, like a fungus already growing all over.
Right, I thought you were a convert from listening to the Daily Podcast today.
Yeah, I salute them, but
no,
I just...
You're not getting away with saluting and coming up with all these fence-sitting phrases
process,
you have.
The culture.
Nobody wants to salute like that.
We'll be back, buy or sell on the other side.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Can you shimmy in the first quarter of a game? You're down in a series. You're down like Luka did. it was a hallelujah moment that Dallas hoped would propel this to a series, but no. Splash and dash. Can you survive getting winged on is the question, Tim Kalisha. Golden State up 3-0. Tim, you're in Dallas. What's the takeaway?
My extensive travel and research on this series says that when the Mavericks miss open three-pointers, they're probably going to lose games. Reggie Bullock going 0-10 means they're probably going to lose games. But realistically, the Warriors are a better small team than the Mavericks are. The Mavericks could take advantage of Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Ayton with that offense. But the bigs who play for Golden State, Kevon Looney and obviously Draymond Green, they can cover people. The Warriors are just better at what they do than Dallas is.
Clinton Yates.
When you tell the story of who this Warriors team is, the Mavericks will be just another bump in the road to this dynasty getting back to who they are. Are you kidding me? The Warriors are back, my guy, and they're banging people out. And Steph Curry needs to embrace his inner villain. I'm sorry David Dennis isn't here. Steph, I need you to be meaner to everybody. We like you better when you do it, and you play better, too. This is fantastic for those of us that like good basketball.
Pablo Torre.
I don't know if you can get that much meaner than shooting no-look threes, which he did multiple times, I think, in this game, let alone this whole series. But I will also point out that when you tell the story of the Warriors, as Clinton wants to, you gotta say the name Andrew Wiggins, not just because of that dunk that he had, which thankfully was challenged to therefore count on the historical record, but because he had the greatest game of his life, 27-11, and Tony, he's leading the Warriors, in three-point shooting this series. Like, come on, man. This is a guy who we left for dead.
Sarah Spain.
Hallelujah, great place to catch a sunrise on Maui. I don't know if you guys have ever woken up and done that. Hallelujah volcano. Yeah. Just kidding, deep cut Maui, Haleakala. I agree with everything that everyone else has said. And I also would like to add that this is very clearly an issue of depth on one side and lack of it on the other. When you can have Draymond with foul trouble and Steph getting rest, and in the meantime, they make up huge chunks of a deficit with Looney and Wiggins and Poole, that's what's making this Warriors team return back to the kind of dynastic greatness that we saw before.
All right. So you're all going dynastic Warriors again? Where was this like 2 weeks ago when you were filling out your brackets for the tournament? I don't understand. Maybe it's just a good matchup and everything's falling into place this year. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. The SEC's reprimand, and in essence, muting of its own coaches, Saban, Jimbo, Kiffin, Pablo. Should the SEC be reprimanding, or should they be embracing this chaos?
They should be televising it, Tony, and I am so mad that the SEC blocked Lane Kiffin from going on Dan Patrick's show last Friday, because that guy also had some stuff to say. And the fact is, when you have all of this theater, right, what it does mostly is reveal who everyone actually is behind the scenes, the versions of themselves that NIL, if doing nothing else, is revealing to us. So let them be who they really are. They want to show us. Stop preventing them.
Sarah Spade?
Are you talking on behalf of us or the SEC? Everything you just said is accurate for us. We want the content. We want the slime. We want them telling on themselves and telling on others. The SEC doesn't. Of course the SEC is shutting them up. This is embarrassing and slimy and absolutely not good for the sport, other than for the players who are eventually going to keep getting better deals out of these coaches revealing their own issues. But of course the SEC should shut them up.
Tim Kalisha.
I think it was all just going to be kind of normal coach firing back at each other until the narcissist word came out, and then we got to different levels. And that's why it would have been interesting to hear from Lane Kiffin, because Lane Kiffin is another guy who was an offensive coordinator like Jimbo, who worked under Saban, and he knows what that is like. That would have been fun to hear.
Clint Yates.
The SEC is going to act like they have a problem with this, with these phony baloney reprimands and so forth that go on the permanent record. But we all know the coaches' meetings are next week. And as Marty McGee say, this is talking season. This is how they promote their product. I can't wait. This is going to be
there back in.
I don't agree with that. I really don't in this case, because I think NIL is already shaking up something that has been so historically inequitable. And while we try to figure out how it can work and benefit everyone, it does not serve for these coaches to start throwing each other on the bus, revealing all the ways they've illegally done it in the past and further muddying the waters. They want to keep this buttoned up while they figure it out.
Pablo, you're shaking your head no.
Oh, these waters are so muddy, though. Like, whose innocence is being lost by now? In my opinion, Sarah, it is about what are you? It's question of what kind of a TV show are you? The idea that the SEC is clean and buttoned up, it's never been that. Just lean into who you actually are.
And there is an issue here Saban was trying to get to that the people on this show don't want to get to, which is NIL is not working the way it's supposed to. It's just a means of paying players outright by boosters, which is what they were trying to avoid for all those years. Now it's just...
But that's what they were doing all those years
as
well.
But they were doing it. They were just funneling it through someone else, and now they're mad that they don't have control of the middleman. They're just mad they're not the middleman anymore, and now the player gets to have more control.
What happened there also, once again, the points went away for the panelist from Dallas. He was shimmying before he got there. Dunked on.
What just happened here?
By Torrey. Yates also. Showdown in 2 minutes.
How did this happen?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The battle of Alberta is drunk. 28 goals in 3 games. Oilers dominating the last two after the Flames dominated the first one. It's now 2-1 Edmonton. The Rangers saying there's a chance. The win to get Carolina's curiosity. And Tampa doing things to Florida that should come with a warning. The Lightning are up 3-0. Panthers coach Andrew Brunette. It looks bleak. But Jonathan Huberdeau, who cares? We can come back. Clinton, biggest outcome Sunday.
Got to be the Oilers. Some of you people believed in the Panthers for reasons I will never understand. But Evander Kane scored that natural hat trick in just 6 minutes of ice time. It took him longer to clean up the actual hats on the ice than it did for that guy to score all the goals. It's going crazy in Edmonton. Bob.
No, I'm staying local because Madison Square Garden, no building goes crazier better than MSG. 44-31, outshot, right? But Igor Shesterkin, Tony, only one goal allowed. They come through the power play. Finally, this series.
A point for the analysis, not a point for saying MSG is the home of all hockey. We're going to give the point to Mr.
Crazy.
Yates. Showdown 2, a couple goals you need to see. Mario Balotelli had 5, but this is the only one you need to see. I mean, look at the step overs and then how he finishes here. And then in the Champions League, Barca-Lyon, the final. Amadi Henry had an incredible tackle, called up a teammate and kept the ball and had a wunder strike. Pablo, which goal impressed you more?
Oh, Tony, it's Balotelli, man. I had wondered, where did Mario Balotelli go? And it turns out he's in Turkey doing things that are totally unnecessary, but amazing. The Rabona at the end, just for good measure. Didn't need it. Glad he did it.
D.Y.
Amandine Henry, c'est magnifique, mademoiselle, plus de ça. Are you kidding me? This is a Champions League final, and she banged it to open the scoring. This completely changed that game. You're not getting a better strike.
You're getting the point for
the
Champions League final. That's a bigger goal. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Clint Yates.
I was born and raised in the capital of the United States of America, Washington, D.C. They happen to have a football team that plays in the NFL there named the Commanders. News came out today that they're going to be potentially buying property to relocate to Dumfries, Virginia. Let me explain something to y'all. That ain't nowhere, no how, no kind of close to D.C. And if they make that move, they will officially be alienating that fan base, of which I am no longer a part of for reasons such as shenanigans like this.
Is that about an hour south on 95?
I Dumfries. Mean, I ain't going that far.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like Dumfries is too on the nose for that team.
Dumfries. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.